Will you listen to the word of God found in Mark chapter 4? He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, and the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And all by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head, and as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." And again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. And yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in the shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I finished up and telling you the story of Danny and when we lived at Waynesburg. And I'm going to recap that again for you in case you didn't happen to hear that story. Went to a high school basketball game when we lived at Waynesburg, and it was senior night. And we were playing a team that there was always tension between the spectators. Any sport that we played, the stands never seemed to get along well. And during that game, the opposing team was leading the game, and then there were some bad calls by the referees, some missed calls by the referees, and people were starting to shout and yell and getting angry, and the tension that built up within the arena was extremely, extremely tense. There was a lot of anger being expressed towards each other, and I sat there and really felt like, okay, after this game is over, there's going to be fistfights in the parking lot, because there was just that type of tension and attitude toward each other. But it was senior night, and so on that evening, as the game got down to the last 5 minutes, it was time to make sure all the seniors had a chance to play. And so they put Danny in. Now, Danny was more of a manager than he was a ball player. Danny had some different issues as far as being a student. So he wasn't the most popular student either, but he was a nice, nice kid. And they put Danny in because Danny was a senior, and it was senior night. So you let all the seniors have a chance to play. And as Danny got the ball, I don't know what's going on there, but when Danny got the ball, he made a shot and missed the basket. The other team took the rebound, went down the court, made another basket. They brought the ball back in, and they shot it to Danny, and Danny took another shot. Danny missed the ball, missed the basket. The other team took the ball, went down, and made another basket. And the other team's up by 20-some points. Well, somewhere in the midst of that, there was a few kids that just started going, "Danny, Danny, Danny, Danny." And as it went on and Danny missed another time, more and more people joined in and started yelling, "Danny, Danny." And I don't know whether it was a coach or just the whole team, the other opposing team, but they tried then to help Danny out as well. And the whole place now, everybody from both opposing team and home team, they're all yelling. The place is just yelling, "Danny, Danny." And the other team passes the ball in and dribbles about 10 feet and steps on the line out of bounds. So the ball comes back in for Danny to have another chance. And Danny takes a shot and misses, and so the other team has the ball, and they pass the ball back in, and they travel about 10 feet, step on the ball out of bounds. The place is still echoing, "Danny, Danny." And finally, the opposing team, one time, they just passed the ball directly into Danny so that he'd have the ball. And I hadn't talked to the principal at the high school in years, but I called him this week, and he remembered that scenario. He was there that night as well, and he knew everything that we were talking about. When Danny finally got his basket and the game ended, there was no longer a tension in the room because everybody had united under one purpose, to help one little young boy make a basket on senior night. And I was standing with Dan, talking with Danny when another teacher asked him, said, "Are you going to the dance afterwards?" And Danny said, "No, I think I'm going to just go home and cry." Now, the thing is, you know, it wasn't a big decision to put Danny in the game when there was all that tension. It was senior night. Danny was a senior. You let all seniors at least have a little bit of time to play on senior night. He didn't improve his team's chances of winning, and he didn't make any spectacular plays. But the choice of him coming in the game changed the entire atmosphere. Maybe it was the choice because of a few kids that just started cheering his name that changed the atmosphere. Or maybe it was just the choice of a coach that said he knew we already won the game, you can let him have the ball so that he can do something tonight. Whatever it was, none of those are big decisions, but it had a major impact on that night of basketball. Now, it's been said that in every acorn is a forest. Every acorn contains a forest. And it's also been said that in every Christian is a church. Each one of you that professes faith in Jesus Christ, just like an acorn can multiply and create a forest, you can multiply and create a new church in each one of you. A church doesn't take more than 10 or 15 people to become a church rather than just a gathering of believers. Each one of you has a church within you as you share that faith. Now, yesterday, I happened to go in a grocery store when we were over in Cranberry. And how many of you like watermelon? And I bought a seedless watermelon. You like seedless watermelons? You know, aren't those are good. How many of you like corn on the cob? How many of you like seedless corn on the cob? Nobody wants seedless corn on the cob. Seedless corn on the cob, well, you get just cob. You don't get corn on the cob. You know, we're not supposed to be seedless Christians either. God doesn't want seedless Christians. He wants us to be Christians that are full of seeds that we plant and that impact the world around us. That we, whatever it is, it doesn't take anything big. A seed's small, but we plant it in the soil of the people around us, the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and his love. It doesn't take a big thing to make a big difference. There was a small boy, had his lunch with him. He was willing to share his lunch. Others were hungry. He just had a few loaves and a couple fish, but he was willing to share his lunch. And Jesus blessed it and multiplied that to feed 5,000 people. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes you being willing to share the seeds that God has put in your heart and planted someplace else. I stumbled across a story during this past week that I want to share with you. It was shared at a leadership summit a number of years ago. And you can do exactly the same kinds of things that this person talks about. So bear with me as I read this to you. The person who was sharing it was a software manager of a software engineer team in a large company in Seattle. And he says, "I have 9 software engineers working for me for a long time." He said, "And I hadn't seen all but one of them face to face in almost 9 months, even though we all work in the same building. We just do everything over email and instant messenger, and it's just easier. And besides, all of us hate meetings." But he decided that he would meet all 9 of his folks, and he went and he met all 9 of his folks, and he put his arm around them and told them the 2 reasons that he admired them, because he's got a good team. A couple days later, one of his engineers, he said, we'll call him Lenny, comes up to me with a poorly wrapped but well-intended gift, the greatest gift a man could get in August, an Xbox and a copy of John Madden 2004. And I looked at Lenny, who I hadn't given a raise to, and I don't remember when. And I'm like, he said, "Hey, dude, where'd you get the money?" And he looked back at me and said one phrase you never want to hear as a manager who has ignored his people. He looked me in the eye and he said, "I sold my 9mm pistol." And then he said, "You never asked me about my personal life the entire time I worked here. So why don't I tell you?" He said, "I moved here from Denver because my mom died. She was my only friend when I was going to college. And I was totally alone. So I thought I'd move to Seattle and start over again at a big company. I've never made a friend at this company. If I died, payroll would be the one to tell you." He said, "I got depressed. I'm online all the time. So what do you do if you're good with a hammer? Everything's a nail, right?" He said, "So I went online and I searched dead mom's solutions." He said, "Guess what I found? I found about 100 suicide chat rooms in multiple languages, and they began to tutor me on what they call the final solution. So I took a paycheck and I went and I bought a beautiful chrome-plated 9mm automatic and a box of bullets. I began to practice every day for the last 6 months. Did I go home, I put on Kurt Cobain, and I'd eat top ramen noodles, and I would get the cigar box out with a gun. I'd get used to putting the bullets in the gun and setting it on the top of my teeth and talking to my mom. I'm coming home. For the last 2 weeks, the safety was off. And I was this close. And then the other day, you freaked me out. You see, you come into my cubicle, and I don't even know you. And you put your arm around me, and you told me that I was funny over email, which was hard. He said, you told me I turn in every project a day early and help you sleep at night. He said, then you told me, you said, Lenny, I'm glad you came into my life. I went home that night, he said, and put on Kurt Cobain, top ramen noodles. He said, when I got the cigar box out and popped the top off, the light reflected off the chrome, and the hairs on the back of my head stood up. And I was scared, and I said out loud the words that saved my life. I'm glad you came into my life, Lenny. He said, I got up the next day, went to the pawn shop, and I said, I gave you $1,000 for the gun. What are you going to give me for the gun? They said, we'll give you about $250. He said, that's newfound wealth. So what am I going to do with the money, I thought. And then I realized that for months you'd been complaining loudly on email and over Messenger that your financial controller, also known as your wife, will not let you purchase the Xbox gaming system because you got that new baby at home to feed. So, Stephen, for my life, this gift is for you. You see, little things matter. Little seeds. Each one of us has those seeds within us. Within each one of us is a church, but we need to plant those seeds. The little things of our life can impact someone in a huge, dramatic way, and we aren't even aware of it. As the scripture says, you know, the person goes out and scatters seeds on the ground, and whether he sleeps or whether he's up, he doesn't know when, but at some point those take root and they grow. But God doesn't want seedless Christians. John chapter 15, it says, if you're not bearing fruit, he's going to cut you off and throw it into the fire. Each one of us has the opportunity and the potential to touch little lives around it. It doesn't take a big thing. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You just have to touch the lives of those that God brings into your life now. Plant the seeds God has given you. Let's pray together. Father, may we know that we have the potential to plant seeds of love and joy, to to bring others into the life of Jesus Christ simply by caring. Lord, may you help us plant our seeds in soil to bring forth fruit. Amen.